I'd had one eye on the clock all day. Had taken heaps of shit for it, too. Every time I'd leaned over the counter to pick up an order, Thomas had swatted at my hand with his grease-spattered spatula. "You got somewhere else you need to be?" he asked, tisking under his breath. "Yeah, somewhere better than this crap hole," I shot back, laughing when he went for me with the spatula again. That was about the only good thing I could find in having worked in this dump for more than a decade. I didn't have to mind my manners anymore. "It's almost 5 o'clock, I called out, after watching the minute hand creep around the clock one final time. "What's your hurry today, anyway?" Louise asked, retying her apron around her thick waist. "You're like a cat in a room full of rocking chairs. Keep it up and you're gonna give Thomas a heart attack. You know he hates it when we're distracted." I threw a glance back through the pickup window, winked at Thomas, who couldn't quite manage to keep his scowl in place. "I don't know," I admitted. "Antsy, I guess." Maybe it was the strange, unexpected weather. Yesterday had been a budding, whispery green, the air scented with wildflowers. Today, snow had splattered against the diner's plate glass windows, tiny swirls sneaking inside every time someone opened the door. But now the sun was starting to peek out from behind the cloud cover, just in time for it to set. Already rivulets of melting snow were forming on the edges of the parking lot. By morning, it would be spring again. But that was Missouri for you. Like the old timers always said, if you don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes. "Could have been those sirens," Thomas offered. "Damn things about drove me insane earlier." Louise nodded, motioned for me to pass her the half-empty ketchup bottle so she could get to refilling them. "Must have been a heap of accidents. Heard there was a bunch of activity over by the old playground. Nobody around here can drive worth a good goddamn." Thomas snorted his agreement from the kitchen, and Louise turned to glance at him. "When's the last time we had snow in April? Seems like it's been ages." "Right before Junie was born," I said without hesitation. 13 years. I remembered how big I'd been, ankles swollen to the point I couldn't shove my feet into snow boots, and had to navigate the drifts in my worn tennis shoes. "Oh, Lord, that's right," Louise said. She finished filling a ketchup bottle and slid it back down my direction. "You have big Saturday night plans?" She did a sideways shimmy. "Maybe a little dancing, a little drinking, a little something something." "I promised Junie I'd be home early and we'd have pizza and watch a movie. I haven't seen her since yesterday." I didn't need to see Louise's eye roll to know how pathetic she found my version of an exciting Saturday night. She'd already told me enough times that youth was wasted on me. 30 going on 50 was one of her favorite commentaries on my non-existent social life. "When mine were that age, I'd have been happy if someone had taken them away for a week at a time. Little smartasses." Louise shook her head. "Where's she been, anyway?" "She stayed over with Izzy Logan." I kept my gaze on the swath of counter I was wiping. I ignored the pinch in the base of my skull. "Those two are thick as thieves," Louise said, and I didn't miss the slight note of disbelief in her voice. I was used to it by now. Understood that girls like Junie and girls like Izzy didn't usually run in the same crowd. Especially not in this town, which might as well have a neon strip painted down the middle. Poor white trash on this side. Do not cross. Didn't seem to matter that 90% of the town was stranded on the wrong side. The invisible line wasn't budging based on majority rule, at least not when it came to mixing with Jenny Logan's family. When I was in junior high, out searching the roadside ditches for cans I could recycle, I used to see Jenny tooling around in her little white convertible. She left for college when I was a sophomore in high school, and I'd assumed she was gone for good. But she'd returned 2 years later with half a degree she'd never used and a college boy groomed to take over her dad's boat dealership. They weren't anything special by city standards, but around here, the Logans were practically royalty. It didn't take much. A decent job and a house that wasn't movable usually did the trick. "Yep," I said. I hated how everyone acted like I ought to be grateful that Izzy liked my daughter, that Izzy's parents welcomed Junie into their home. No one ever asked me what I thought. Probably would have been surprised to discover that I wasn't grateful at all. That I would have put a stop to the friendship a long time ago if I could have figured out a way to do it without breaking my daughter's heart. I resented the phone calls from Jenny arranging get-togethers, always assuming, even after constant reminders to the contrary, that my schedule was endlessly flexible. I looked away from the perfunctory waves Izzy's father Zach gave from the front porch when I pulled up in my ancient Honda, the back window jury-rigged out of cardboard and duct tape. I kept waiting and wishing for the first bloom of friendship to fade, for some stupid drama to tear the girls apart. But it had been years now, and so far the bond they had was made of stronger stuff, and I didn't like that either. Hated thinking about what it might mean. I dropped the rag on the counter and pressed my hands into my lower back. I was too young to feel like such shit at the end of the day, my legs aching and spine a dull throb. You would have thought the snow might have made for a quiet day at the diner, but weather was everyone's second favorite topic, right behind politics. The place had been hopping all day, only now emptying out as everyone made their way home for dinner. The pie rack had been cleared out, and I didn't want to estimate how many cups of coffee I'd poured in the last 8 hours. Lots of jawing and not a whole lot of tipping. My least favorite kind of day. "Looks like your brother's pulling in," Louise said. "Hope he doesn't want a piece of apple. He's shit out of luck." I straightened up, watched Cal's car slide to a stop out front. Even after all these years, the sight of my brother behind the wheel of a patrol car came as a little shock. We'd spent the majority of our childhoods evading the cops. Grew up always keeping one eye out for the law. The kind of public service that might earn us an extra dollar from the dealers using our mama's cracked countertop as a storefront. So, cop hadn't exactly been at the top of my list of promising potential professions for my brother. But he'd surprised me. First by becoming one, and then turning out to be good at the job. Word around town was he was tough, but always fair. Which was more than could be said for his boss and the other lazy-ass deputies. Once when Thomas had spent a night in jail after he'd made a drunken mess of himself, he'd told me that Cal had a real nice way about him, even when he was putting on the cuffs. Praise for the law didn't come higher than that. Not around here. "He's not usually in town on Saturdays," I said. The cops around here were spread thin, patrolling not just Barron Springs, but multiple small towns and the long stretches of almost empty highway in between. "Maybe the man needs a cup of coffee," Louise said. "I'm sure he's had a long day." She fluffed her hair with one hand. Louise was old enough to be Cal's mom and then some, but even she turned ridiculous in his presence, wanting to baby him and flirt with him in equal measure. "Maybe," I said. But something heavy settled in my stomach as Cal unwound himself from the front seat of his cruiser. He shut the door and then stood there, head hanging down, dishwater blonde hair catching the light. After a moment, he straightened up, set his shoulders. "Steeling himself," I thought, and the heavy knot in my stomach bottomed out through the floor. Those sirens. I told myself they had nothing to do with Junie, who was too young to drive and too old to be fooling around on a playground. I grabbed the rag and looked away from the window. Went back to scrubbing at the cracked formica countertop. Didn't look up even when I heard the bell jangle over the door.